Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report? The context of our scripture is Isaiah chapter 53. Now, Isaiah chapter 53 is arguably the most systematic prophecy of Jesus Christ's first Advent work. It was written 7 centuries before the events occurred in time, in human history. Now, suppose that every one of us were to write a news story about the events in the year 2700. I suppose we would all be way off in general, and none of us would get any of the specifics right. But Isaiah, because he was writing under divine inspiration, led by God the Holy Spirit, got everything right. Now this morning, rather than the point sermon that you are accustomed to, we shall work through Isaiah chapter 53, verse by verse, and read of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we find prophesied therein. We must never divorce the New Testament gospel from its Old Testament context. All scripture is profitable for our learning. If you will learn only one chapter of God's Old Testament revelation, let it be this one, Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the arm of the Lord is a messianic title. Earlier in Isaiah, the arm of the Lord is the agent of redemption and the agent of salvation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, when I use that term, messianic or Messiah, I am using it interchangeably with the term Christ. The term Messiah is simply Hebrew for the Greek term Christ. That term Christ was not Jesus' last name, as we would commonly understand it, but it is simply a term which refers to his office, to the fact that he is the one whom God anointed to effect his plan of salvation for all mankind, even you and I. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. The Messiah was a descendant of Jesse and of David in his humanity. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, there was nothing spectacular or unusual about Jesus' appearance. Nothing that would set him apart physically. Jesus was not a 6'6" albino man from Ireland. Rather, Jesus was an average-looking, olive-skinned Galilean man. When he came, people didn't look at him and say, "Wow, look at this guy with his appearance. We're going to follow him and make him our king," like they did to Saul. But they looked at him and they despised him based upon his appearance, saying, "He looks just like you and me and the guy across the street." He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. As the Apostle John would later write, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Many people in Jesus' day considered Jesus' afflictions as resulting from his own sins. Why would anyone come to that conclusion? We know better. But the children of Israel had been steeped in Torah, the Old Testament law, and they remembered that it was written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And so they shot out the lip at him and cursed him as they passed him by, even as he hung there dying for them. They did not understand that God's servant, even his holy arm, was without sin and was taking upon himself the afflictions of others. The physical fulfillment of the fourth verse in Isaiah chapter 53 is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, where we find it written, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment. For our peace, that is our peace with God, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. This verse teaches the substitutionary nature of the atonement. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Many have made applications from this verse that are incorrect, based upon a wrong understanding of what the verse means. This scripture, by his stripes we are healed, is not a guarantee of physical healing. If it were, no Christian would ever die. Rather, it is a promise or a guarantee of spiritual healing only. The extent to which it extends to the body will not be fulfilled until we receive our resurrected bodies after the second coming of Christ and stand there in his presence. So let no one tell you that this verse guarantees a healing, because one day we're all going to die, and we will have found ourselves sadly deceived. Verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all wandered from God, but Jesus Christ is both sin bearer and friend of the wanderer. He is our good shepherd. Have you wandered? Are you wandering? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, both in his trial before the Jews and in his trial before Rome. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. Jesus was judged. He was declared guilty by men, and he was executed. He was executed for transgressions, not his own, but for yours and for mine. Transgressions are legal violations. When we speed, we transgress the law. And we are all in violation of God's law. Which one of you can keep the 613 commandments in the Old Testament law? If there be any here who believe that they can, then save yourself. And when that doesn't work out for you, come to Christ. God had every right to cut us off. But that is not who He is. Maybe if you're like me, you've got people in your life that have mistreated you, failed you, took their digs at you, betrayed you more than once. And finally, you get to the point that you say, you know what? Enough is enough. I can't help you. I'm done with you. Hopefully, you found it in your heart to forgive that person. But there's nothing more that you can do. But there's something that God can do. There's something that God can do for that person in your life. And by the way, you are probably that person in somebody else's life. And there's something that God can do for you too. This is why Jesus tells you, pray for your enemies. You know, God had every right to cut you off, to give up on you, to say, you know what, that guy, that woman is a sinner. I'll have none of them. But that's not who God is. That's not God's grace. That's not God's mercy. So instead, He allowed His Son to die in our place, knowing full well that Jesus would also take up His life again, thus fulfilling the saying which is written, mercy triumphs over judgment. And they made His grave with the wicked, but with the rich at His death, because He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Though our Lord died a death appointed for the most wicked of men, God saw to it that He received an honorable burial. Yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Ultimately, although the Jews clamored for His death, and the Romans picked up the hammer and the nail, and you and I, because of our sin, were the reason He went there, it was the Father who sent Him, and the Son who humbly submitted to the will of the Father. Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. In His being bruised, Jesus bled, for without the shedding of blood there was no remission of sins. How is it then written that he shall see his seed and prolong his days. How will one who dies see his offspring here on earth? Well, there's only one answer to that, friends. Through the resurrection. Not only does Isaiah 53 speak of the suffering servant, it speaks of his victory. And so we turn a corner. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Many will be declared innocent in God's court of law of their transgressions on the basis not of what they have done, but of what God's Son, God's servant, has done. For the arm of the Lord has given you salvation. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. If the Father has exalted the name and the person of his Son, how much more ought we to do the same? Therefore, this morning, let it be known to all men and ladies that you cannot save yourself. You will not find peace with God yourself. You need a Savior. You need God's help to get through whatever it is you're going through. Whatever it is you're going to begin going through this week, whatever it is that might be thrown at you tomorrow, this week, next month, a year from now, you need Jesus Christ. Who has believed our report? How is it that everything that Isaiah wrote 700 years before the events happened came true and was fulfilled to a T? If that is true, how much more so is every other promise of God true? Have you believed the Lord's report? You know, there's a lot of fake news going around out there. But we've got the truest and the greatest news report of all. And it may be that even you, has been stirred into the belief in the living God, or stirred anew, in what he did. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word. We thank you for every word and every chapter and every book of your love letter to man. We thank you that you made a way for us to have peace with you through your Son, Jesus. We thank you. Lord God, that you have not left us without hope, without help. Lord, help us, we pray, each and every day of our journey. We pray that you give us aid in walking godly and fitting as you've called us to do. And that you aid us in persevering, that we might come to the finish line ready to receive rewards, having done something of worth in our brief time here on earth, that it might be heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.